ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, entitled The Renunciation of Kadamuni, text number 33. Param Pradhanam Purusham Mahantam Kalam Kavim Kalam Kavim Trivratam Lokapalam आत्मानुभूत्यानुगत प्रपंचम् स्वच्छंद शक्तिं कपिलं प्रपद्ये परं प्रधानं पुरुषं महांतं कालं कविं त्रिव्रतं लोकपालं आत्मानुभूत्यानुगत प्रपंचम् स्वच्छंद शक्तिं कपिलं प्रपद्ये परं प्रधानं पुरुषं महांतं कालं कविं त्रिव्रतं लोकपालं आत्मानुभूत्यानुगत प्रपंचम् स्वच्छंद शक्तिं कपिलं प्रपद्ये परं प्रधानं पुरुषं महांतं कालं कविं त्रिव्रतं लोकपालं आत्मानुभूत्यानुगत प्रपंचम् स्वच्छंद शक्तिं कपिलं प्रपद्ये
परम ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्रधानम सुप्रीम पुरुषम पर्सन महांतम Who is the origin of the material world? Kalam, who is time? Kavim, fully cognizant. Trivratam, three modes of material nature. Logapalam, who is the maintainer of all the universes? Atma, in himself. Anubhutya, by internal potency. Anugata, dissolved. Prapancham, whose material manifestation. Swachanda, independently. Shaktim, who is powerful. Kapilam, to Lord Kapila. Prapadye, I surrender. Translation. I surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended in the form of Kapila, who is independently powerful and transcendental, who is the Supreme Person and the Lord of the sum total of matter and the element of time, who is the fully cognizant maintainer of all the universes under the three modes of material nature, and who absorbs the material manifestations after the dissolution. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
The six opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation are indicated here by Kardama Muni, who addresses Kapila Muni, his son, as Param. The word Param is used in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the phrase Param Satyam, to refer to the Samam Bonam or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param is explained further by the next word, Pradhanam, which means the chief, the origin, the source of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not formless. He is Purusham, or the enjoyer, the original person. He is the time element and is all cognizant. He knows everything, past, present and future, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, I know everything, present, past and future, in every corner of the universe. The material world, which is moving under the spell of the three modes of material nature, is also a manifestation of His energy. Parasya Shaktir Vividheva Shruyate. Everything that we see is an interaction of His energy. Shweta Shvetara Upanishad 6.8. Parasya Brahmana Shakti Tathedam Akhilam Jagat. This is the version of the Vishnu Purana. We can understand that whatever we see in an interaction of the three modes of material nature, but actually it is all an interaction of the Lord's energy. Lokapalam, He is actually the maintainer of all living entities. Nityo Nityana, He is the chief of all living entities. He is one, but He maintains many, many living entities. God maintains all other living entities, but no one can maintain God. That is His Swachhanda Shakti. He is not dependent on others. Someone may call himself independent, but he is still dependent on someone higher. The personality of Godhead, however, is absolute. There is no one higher than or equal to Him. Kapila Muni appeared as the son of Kardama Muni, but because Kapila is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kardama Muni offered respectful obeisances unto Him with full surrender. Another word in this verse is very important. Atmane Bhutyanigada Prapancham. The Lord descends either as Kapila or Rama, Narasimha or Varaha, and whatever form He assumes in the material world are all manifestations of His own personal internal energy. They are never forms of the material energy. The ordinary living entities who are manifested in this material world are bodies created by the material energy. But when Krishna or anyone of His expansions or parts of the expansion descends on this material world, although He appears to have a material body, His body is not material. He always has a transcendental body. But fools and rascals who are called mudhas consider Him one of them, and therefore they deride Him. They refuse to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they cannot understand Him. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Avajanandi ma mudhaha. Those who are rascals and fools deride Me. When God descends in a form, this does not mean that He assumes His form with the help of the material energy. He manifests His spiritual form as He exists in His spiritual kingdom. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaghanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchagalpa Tarubhyascha
कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाभिर्यमा पुरो विभो निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण
टुडे इज सच एन ऑस्पिशियस डे टुडे इज श्री व्यास पूजा डे टुडे इज द अपीयरेंस ऑफ शील प्रभुपाद एस ही चैंट नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रील प्रभुपाद इज नोन एज कृष्ण प्रेष्ठा व्हाट्स द मीनिंग ऑफ प्रेष्ठा प्रेष्ठा मीन्स वन हू इज वेरी वेरी डियर टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड सो ही इज कृष्ण प्रेष्ठा सो वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टुडे टू असेंबल हियर एंड टू ग्लोरिफाई प्योर डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्ण श्रील प्रभुपाद सो भागवतम is glorification of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and his expansions, as well as his pure devotees. If you go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see glories of Krishna, you can see glories of incarnations of the Lord, his pastimes, his qualities. At the same time, we can see so many glories and so many glorious activities of his pure devotees. So in this verse, we can see how Kardama Muni, having pleased his spiritual master, ultimately he got the Supreme Lord himself as his son. And here we can see that Kapila Muni is surrendering unto the Supreme Lord Kapila Dev. So the last line of this verse is Swachanda Shaktim Kapilam Prabhadye. So Kapila Dev, he is a Swachanda Shakti. He is the independent Lord. Lord is independent. And here Kardama Muni is saying, I surrender unto him. So today we will discuss about the personality who surrendered completely unto the Supreme Lord. And he has dedicated all his words, all his thoughts and all his actions for the welfare of the humanity. And that is none other than Srila Prabhupada. So I thought, initially, shall I speak on this section or shall I choose some other verse altogether? Then I decided I'll stick to this verse because, of course, tomorrow's speaker will also continue on the same verse because I cannot do a complete justice to this purport. At the same time, this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is very relevant in this context of Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja and in the context of glorification of Srila Prabhupada. So I was looking into different personalities in this pastime as we were reading through, and I was finding how their character and how their activities are so relevant in today's meditation. We have the great personalities who are mentioned in this section, like Lord Brahma. We have here, we have Kardama Muni, we have Devahuti. We could say these are the three main personalities whose life or whose teachings are being discussed here. And to continue on, we will also hear from Kapila Dev, the personality of Godhead. So here, today, we will try to discuss a little bit about Srila Prabhupada, because to discuss about a pure devotee is very difficult. Even we cannot understand a pure devotee. It is said in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that a Vaishnava's kriya and mudra, a Vaishnava's activities and his intentions and his thoughts
are very difficult to understand. It may look, in one way, it may look sometimes trivial, sometimes it may look very shallow, or one may not understand, or one may completely misconstrue the whole activities because his intentions, his thoughts are very deep and they are in connection to Krishna. So if we say, can we really understand Srila Prabhupada? The answer is no. We are not even qualified. But similarly, can we understand about Krishna? Actually speaking, no. But whatever is revealed, that we can discuss, that we can try to understand. So I was thinking about the surrender of Kardama Muni and Devahuti in this context. Both are great personalities. They are completely surrendered to the instructions of their spiritual masters. Say, in the case of Kardama Muni, we can see that he was totally dedicated to his spiritual master and father, who is none other than Lord Brahma. And he did all austerities, all penances, ultimately to please his spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see that quality of carefully listening from the spiritual master and executing the instruction with full heart. Something which we need to very carefully meditate on, especially on this auspicious day. So Kardama Muni was instructed by Lord Brahma to create progenies, and he did perform austerity for 10,000 years, and he had the presence of the Lord himself in front of him. Then he did execute his task of populating the world by producing quality children who are Krishna conscious. Now, when we see Srila Prabhupada's life, it is said that Srila Prabhupada was such an attentive listener to his spiritual master. We know the pastime when Srila Prabhupada was getting initiated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What is the qualification that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati noticed in Srila Prabhupada? Bhakti Siddhanta said, I have already marked him. So this is a scene where Prabhupada's some of his friends were there, and all his godbrothers were there, sannyasi godbrothers were there, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was there. So it was an assembly of devotees where Srila Prabhupada was getting initiated. And when Prabhupada was introduced, that time Abhay Babu, even he was introduced by his godbrothers to Bhakti Siddhanta, the one thing that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur noticed was, I have already marked him because he listens attentively. He is a good listener. So it is very important being a good listener to the teachings of the spiritual master and that of Lord Krishna, which are one and the same. So Srila Prabhupada remembers, even though Prabhupada had donated money, he has helped the mission in different ways, still Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted only one thing and he glorified only one thing, that is the quality of listening. We know, because Srila Prabhupada, this is well before Srila Prabhupada's initiation, during the Vrindavan Parikram, Prabhupada, he left his business for some time because he wanted to associate with his spiritual master and his godbrothers in Vrindavan, and he wanted to hear from him. So Srila Prabhupada left his business for some time, he took leave and he went to Vrindavan Parikram, and he moved with the spiritual master, moving around in Vrindavan and hearing from him. Then finally, it was almost the end of the parikrama, so end of the going different places and hearing pastimes of Vrindavan. And at one point, one of his godbrother, sannyasi godbrother, made an announcement. Today, all devotees can go to visit a temple. That is the temple of Sheshasai. That is a Vishnu who is lying on Sheshasai. So the Ananta, on the Ananta, the Lord is lying. So there is the Sheshasayi temple, and devotees can visit this temple, but at the same time, their Guru Maharaj, that is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, would be delivering a lecture. So the devotees were given the option. Either you can stay and you can listen to Bhaktisiddhanta, or they can go and visit Sheshasayi temple. The Srila Prabhupada says that except around 10 or 12 people, rest of them went and visited Sheshasayi temple. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was speaking, only 10 or 12 disciples were present. So Prabhupada says, I thought, what is the point of going and seeing Sheshasayi? Because what can I see? Let me hear from a realized soul, that is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So that point in itself, he was very clear. That is, what can we see other than hearing? Because our whole process is the process of hearing. That's why even Brahma, in the third canto, prayers for the creative energy, he makes this point that Shrutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam. Shrutekshita patho. Shruta means, you know, the hearing. Shruta ikshita. Ikshita means seeing. Patha, the path. The path of seeing through hearing. So our seeing is through oral reception. Because about transcendence, about the Supreme Absolute Truth, how can we see? And what knowledge, what consciousness do we have to see? So we can see through our ears. So Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he understood this point. He is a pure devotee. He is always fixed in transcendental consciousness, even though it may look like otherwise. But he is always fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, right from the beginning, that time Srila Prabhupada was not officially initiated, even at that point, he was very clear. I have to listen from my spiritual master. And indeed, he listened from his spiritual master. And we can see further that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he always noticed the eagerness of Srila Prabhupada to listen to his spiritual master. So it is such a wonderful quality we need to imbibe and we need to really meditate upon. Because we may think, okay, I need some personal instruction from my spiritual master. I need some personal instruction from my spiritual master so that I can follow. But the reality is, when we get the instruction, if we are not really surrendered, we will not be able to follow the instructions. It will become just another instruction. For example, a spiritual master's instruction is not necessarily obtained in a one-to-one meeting. Those instructions we can get through their writings or through their lectures. If we take it personally, definitely they are personal instructions. So the opportunity for us to get instruction from our spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada is always there. Because they have always left their vani behind. Always. So it is such an important thing we need to understand. So by reading, by listening, we can get instruction from our spiritual teachers. And at the time of initiation of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he instructed him, okay, now you study Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because that is systematically presenting devotional service. Systematically training us in devotional service. And we can see, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he used to say that this is actually the law book. And we can see how Srila Prabhupada has given us Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as a summary study in the form of nectar devotion. And he also instituted, in one sense, as our law book. If we want to make progress in spiritual life, then we need to study nectar devotion. And we need to follow nectar devotion. So we can see how this parampara is working. How the instructions which are imparted by Bhaktisiddhanta to Srila Prabhupada is coming to us intact, without any change. In fact, Srila Prabhupada indeed carried the same mood of his Guru Maharaj in terms of preaching. It is said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he had such a stern stand against Mayavad philosophy, the impersonalists. Even at that time, even the big Mayavadi scholars and sannyasis, they would dare to stand in front of Bhaktisiddhanta. It is even said that when some of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's prominent disciples were walking in the street, and if some Mayavadis are coming, they would actually go on the other side. They will just cross the street and they will go to the other side. That was the power of disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it is said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never compromised. He used to call, Prabhupada used to call his technique of preaching as chopping technique. Chopping technique means if there is any arguments and if there are any wrong understanding of the philosophy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to cut it. Just like if you have a mango or if you have an apple, if you cut a fruit, there can be a part which is not good, it's a bit rotten. Then we can just chop it off and get the good stuff. The same way the technique of this preaching was called chopping technique. So there was no compromise. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he always preached so strongly. Even we know the pastime, I'll just do a small pastime in which some Mayavadis said, we will have a debate. They challenged Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the debate is personalism versus impersonalism. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, fine, no problem, we will have the debate. Then this was a correspondence. There was a correspondence happening between Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and this Mayavadi group. Then they said, you shouldn't use Srimad Bhagavatam as a reference. See, because they are afraid of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if you take Bhagavatam, then practically there is no argument. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no problem. We will have a debate without Srimad Bhagavatam. I will never refer to Bhagavatam. Then they said, don't take any books other than Upanishads. So it means you cannot have any of the Puranas. It's a big ask. No Puranas, no Bhagavad Gita, no Bhagavatam. None of the books could be referred in this debate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yes, no problem. We will have a debate. Only based on Upanishads. Then they retreated. They never came forward for the debate. So this was the strength of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So whenever any of his followers, any of his devotees would sternly and strongly present Krishna consciousness without any compromise, then Bhaktisiddhanta would become very happy. So Srila Prabhupada carried the same mood. That's why I read this purport. We can see in this purport how strongly Srila Prabhupada is presenting, arguing against impersonalism, Mayava philosophy. Very strongly. And see the words Srila Prabhupada uses even in this purport. He repeats Krishna's words, right? Avajananti ma mudha. Those who are rascals and fools deride me. Prabhupada says, I don't say this, Krishna says. Strong presentation. The Prabhupada carried the same mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur without any compromise. And even when it comes to the disciples of Srila Prabhupada also, Prabhupada wanted the devotees to present the philosophy without any compromise. True philosophy without any change. As it is. So Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is as it is. We can see that the strength of presentation of Srila Prabhupada following in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta. In fact, there is a very important point. Srila Prabhupada says that some of his godbrothers, they were very afraid to bring people in front of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because they thought that our Guru Maharaj, he will do this chopping technique. He will speak so strongly that they will make these people unhappy. And they even kind of offended their Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada says, those who thought in that way, they fell down in due course of time. Understand? Those who criticized or maintained an offensive mentality against their Guru Maharaj, they fell down eventually. Thinking that, okay, he is speaking, he's just heavy, so he's going to damage the guest, those who were cultivating or those who want them to be coming forward in Krishna consciousness. So that is the power of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whatever he spoke, we had to understand, speaking from the true platform. Srila Prabhupada is speaking from the absolute platform. So whatever they speak is true. Because they are connected to the supreme absolute truth, Krishna.
In this pastime, coming back to Bhagavatam, we can see that Devahuti serving her spiritual master, that is her own husband, Kardamuni, with such an intimacy. And the same thing we can see in Srila Prabhupada. The intimate connection between Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's amazing. I was going through Leelamrita, and when you see the in the first section, when you see that chapter, how can I serve you? We can really see how Srila Prabhupada is intimately connected to his spiritual master. Prabhupada says, when Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they were together and when they were alone, Bhakti Siddhanta used to speak very freely. He used to disclose his heart in a very intimate way. Like Bhakti Siddhanta told Srila Prabhupada that they wanted to kill me. They actually plotted, the Mayavadis, they plotted to kill Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They gave a huge sum of thousands of rupees back in the days, you know, thousands and thousands of rupees. They tried to bribe a policeman and told, don't take the charge, don't take the case. We are going to murder Bhakti Siddhanta. And you don't take any case against this, so we will do this. So the police, they said, for him, I cannot do that. He is such a saintly person. I cannot take any bribe, even though it's 1,000, around 25,000 rupees or something. Like, huge sum back in the days, and huge sum. I cannot accept such a money to do such a heinous activity. It is said, this policeman, he reported this to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was a plot to murder you. So all these things, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to tell Srila Prabhupada. There was such an intimate connection. So Prabhupada says, he was so merciful to me, so whenever we were alone, when we were together, he used to disclose his heart to me. We can see that further, this kind of episodes which are very, very important. And it is very foundational to ISKCON. Right? We know the instruction Bhakti Siddhanta gave near the bank of Radhakund. Very famous conversation in Vrindavan on the bank of Radhakund. The whole devotees were around, but Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they were walking together. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told, Agun Jwalbe, there will be fire in the mud. Because as soon as they had established the Bagh Bazar temple, palatial temple with marble floor and lot of rooms, beautiful deities, then the devotees started fighting for rooms. Okay, who is going to take which room? You know, suppose so far in the Gaudiya Math temple was such a small place, and you know, brahmacharis were crowded in few rooms, and there was no, you know, big altar or a small altar, small temple room, few rooms. So it was a very basic existence. But why Bhakti Siddhanta wanted a big temple? Because that is the preaching. So for the preaching mission, we need a big temple. Otherwise, these personalities like Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, they don't want a big temple. They don't want bigger rooms. You know, we know the pastime of Srila Prabhupada where in Hong Kong, Prabhupada was giving lecture in a five-star hotel. And his accommodation was provided in a big place, a big palatial place. So the press reporters asked, you are talking about renunciation, at the same time you are giving this talk in a five-star hotel. Why is it so? So Prabhupada, he answered the question first philosophically. First he answered that we can use anything in Krishna service. If there is opulence, definitely we can use in Krishna service. And ultimately, the opulence is meant to be used in service of Krishna. Because he is the all opulent. But definitely, the reporters couldn't get this. They couldn't catch the point. So they repeated the question. Then Srila Prabhupada asked this question. I am happy sitting under a tree and delivering this talk. I am happy sitting under a tree and chanting. But how many of you will come and listen from me? Right? So he made the point that I am presenting this in such a palatial place for you, not for me.
this place, this palatial place is not for you because you are attached to opulent things. I am not. So this is the point. Prabhupada made this point many times. He had the ability to answer the question philosophically, and he had the ability to smash, or in other words, smash means to make them humble so that they accept what Prabhupada had spoken. It's a very, very, very amazing quality Srila Prabhupada had. For example, we know many questions like in Melbourne, the question was posed to Srila Prabhupada, right? Why are you taken in a Rolls Royce? We see, if you go to Srila Prabhupada's room, we can see Srila Prabhupada sitting in Rolls Royce with his cane, holding on to his cane. So the reporters asked the same question. Why are you, you know, you're talking about renunciation and detachment, but you're taken in a Rolls Royce? Prabhupada's answer was very profound. He said, this is nothing. This is just tin and rubber and, you know, like, the, you know, just basic things. This, Prabhupada didn't see this Rolls Royce in its opulence. He said, it's just tin. Actually, a representative of God is meant to be taken and carried in gold, golden chariot. And what is this? What is this Rolls Royce? So Prabhupada had he made the real point. How one should treat the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has to be treated as good as God. He's never God, but he has to be treated as good as God. So he said, what is this Rolls Royce? So this is, so Prabhupada was able to drive that point so sharply, like a needle. It'll just pierce. It'll pierce through. So this is the potency. It is the purity and clarity. So yes, coming back to the point, devotees started actually fighting for these rooms. Brahmachari started fighting. You know, going to the new temple, there are many rooms. Okay, I'll take this room. No, I'll take this room. So Bhaktisiddhanta was very much disturbed by this. And he said, there will be fire in the mud. And he said, everything is going to be finished. Everything is going to be vanquished. The whole preaching mission is going to go in vain. He predicted. And indeed, it happened. So at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta told Srila Prabhupada, whenever, he said, they are fighting for stone. Can you understand? They are fighting, his own followers, they are fighting for stone, marble pieces. They are fighting for marble. He even told, I will just take all, I will take each and every brick from this temple, I will sell and I will print books and distribute. He went to that extent. Can you imagine? He took so much of effort in constructing a temple, and he said, I am ready to take each and every brick of the temple. I don't want any temple anymore, and I will sell them and I will print books and distribute transcendental knowledge. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Srila Prabhupada, whenever you get money, you print books. That is my desire. Very clearly, Amar Icha. This is my desire. This is my desire to print books. So this is the we can see down in the line in Srila Prabhupada's life how this is unfolding. How Srila Prabhupada is so much pleased when the books are being published and being distributed. We can see right from the beginning. So connected to this one instruction. We can see in the pastime of Srila Prabhupada when devotees come, they ask how many books are being distributed. And also, he will keep track on, in every language, how many books are being translated and published. So it's such an amazing dedication to the order of the spiritual master. And we can see the followers in ISKCON is continuing the legacy. That is, to distribute books, to publish and distribute books. And continuing on the point of the intimate connection between Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, it is it's a famous couplet that is written by Srila Prabhupada on the Vyas Puja of Bhaktisiddhanta in 1965, on the 62nd birthday of Bhaktisiddhanta. So I'll just read that couplet. It's very, very important and very interesting. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. So this is one of the couplets written by Srila Prabhupada in glorification of his spiritual master. So when this couplet along with the glorification was sent to Harmonist, the magazine they used to print, Bhaktisiddhanta happened to read this and he said, "He has understood my heart." Can you understand? Bhaktisiddhanta told that he has, Srila Prabhupada has understood my heart. Because he, especially when he read this, "Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved." So, we can see how Srila Prabhupada understood the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta, and Bhaktisiddhanta appreciated this point. And it is mentioned that Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, they glorify Srila Prabhupada. He said, this is very similar to Srila Rupa Goswami's understanding of the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, he is God. Who can understand the heart of God? It's very difficult, right? Even what God speaks, probably we cannot understand. It can be quite cryptic or quite deep. But what to speak about the heart of Supreme Lord? So Srila Rupa Goswami, we can see he wrote the poem revealing the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can read in the Madhyalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, understanding the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami was glorified even by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, how it is so amazing that this Rupa Goswami, he understood my inner heart, my inner feeling. Then Sarupa Damodar Goswami told, if he has understood your mood, your inner feelings, it means that you have given him your mercy. That is the only way he can understand your heart. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, yes. When I met him for the first time, I had already given the mercy. I understood him to be the qualified person and I empowered him to understand all the devotional ecstasies. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada is qualified. He is the empowered person to impart this transcendental knowledge throughout the world. So in the first meeting in itself, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur instructed. As Srila Prabhupada says, I have met so many sadhus, so many devotees, but I had no interest to meet the saintly person because they were bogus. Because Prabhupada's father, he used to invite so many saintly people and they used to feed the saintly people. And finally they used to ask the saintly people, please bless my son so that he can get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. All the saintly people, they used to bless Srila Prabhupada. Okay, let him get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So now Prabhupada said, you know, I met them because many of them, they used to do other things also, which are not very much in aligned with a sadhu life. So Prabhupada lost interest in saintly persons. But when he met Bhaktisiddhanta, then he got a different perception altogether. He understood, he is a saintly person. And the first instruction was, you are an English speaking person, you are educated, so you can preach Lord Chaitanya's message in English speaking countries. This is the first instruction given to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very impressed that even from the first time Prabhupada met and just gave the instruction, and that became the life and soul of Srila Prabhupada. Life and soul. The entire life is based on the first instruction imparted by his guru in the first meeting. Can you see that? The first meeting, the first instruction, that becomes the life and soul of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada lived by that. So that's why after reading this, Bhaktisiddhanta told, whatever he writes, publish it. See, whatever he writes, publish it. So this is, you know, whatever he writes. So Bhaktisiddhanta directly saw that. Even, we can see that in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada did everything for the Gaudiya Math establishment. To get a property, to raise the fund to build the temple, everything. Srila Prabhupada did everything. So, Sridhar Maharaj and Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, they requested Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur Thakur, he should be the temple president. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthakur Thakur told, no, leave him alone. Logically thinking, look, a person who did everything to establish a temple in Bombay. He found a property, he raised the funds, then helped to establish the temple. So he did everything for the temple. So naturally his godbrothers, sannyasi godbrothers, recommended Bhaktisiddhanta that Srila Prabhupada should be the temple president. Why he is working separately? Let him be with us. So now the reply of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very profound. He said, I don't need your recommendation. Let him be separate. When the time comes, he will do everything. He will do everything. So Prabhupada didn't hear this words of his spiritual master, but later his godbrothers told Srila Prabhupada, this is what our spiritual master told about you. He said Srila Prabhupada was meditating the deeper meaning of the statement. When the time comes, he will do everything. So we can see that is ISKCON. When the time came, he did everything. Still, Srila Prabhupada is doing everything. Through his followers, through his disciples, still the mission is continuing. So this is the intimacy, this is the intimate connection. You can see in case of Devahuti, it is mentioned Vishrambhena, right? The word used is Vishrambhena. He was serving, Devahuti was serving her husband with intimacy. This is the actual intimate service. What is intimate service? Intimate service means understanding the desire of the spiritual master and fulfilling those desires. That is intimate service. We think intimate service means just massaging the feet or washing the cloth or cooking. Okay, they are service. It can be intimate as well. But one may think the intimacy is only physical intimacy. But the real intimacy is serving the mission of the spiritual master. Serving the desires of the spiritual master. That's why the last letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was practically lamenting and expressing his concern that my other godbrothers, they are sannyasis or brahmacharis. They are able to do direct service to you. But I am a grihastha and I am running a business. How can I serve you? Prabhupada says, the only question I ask to my spiritual master is, how can I serve you? So again, he asked the same question, how can I serve you? What was the reply of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? I can read that. I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as to your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher if you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general as well as philosophers and religionists. That is the final instruction. And after that, after a couple of months, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the world. So the first and the last instruction, one and the same. We know that Srila Prabhupada, even to come to the renounced order of life, to preach, was not so easy. There is a remembrance of Keshav Maharaj, who gave sannyas to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada didn't take sannyas. He was still a grihastha. But he had such a strong desire to preach. He was so concerned about the people and he wanted to create a mass impression. He wanted to create an impression that will last long and that will change the life altogether. So he was thinking, I should approach Gandhi, because at that time the Gandhian movement was very strong in India, because India was still a dependent country. So at that time Srila Prabhupada really wanted to influence Gandhi so that the message of Krishna could be spread. So this mentioned that Keshav Maharaj mentioned that Prabhupada was pleading to Keshav Maharaj. Maharaj, let's go. Gandhi is coming tonight. Let's go and meet. How can I go myself? I'm a grihastha. I'm not an established preacher. I will go with you. Let's go together. Let's plead to Gandhi. And in that way, let's incorporate the teachings of Lord Krishna in Gandhi's mission, and in that way the masses can be helped. So he was requesting, but Keshamara says it was not his nature to go and approach Gandhi and, you know, other big people and to request. So he couldn't do it. So he mentioned, even that time he was repeatedly requesting Kesha Maharaj, you know, let's go, let's try to do something. Then later, Srila Prabhupada was thinking of, you know, taking sannyas, because first time he was ordered by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in dream. In a dream, Bhaktisiddhanta came and ordered, you take sannyas. The Prabhupada mentioned, first time he thought, you know, it is not so nice. How to leave my family, how to leave the business. But later, even Bhaktisiddhanta came for the second time and asked Srila Prabhupada to take sannyas. So Kesha Maharaj remembers, Prabhupada came to him and told, our master has ordered to take sannyas. Kesha Maharaj was very concerned, because Bhakti Prajnana Kesha Maharaj, he was connected to Srila Prabhupada's family. So he was thinking, you know, how can I do it? Because how can he take away from the family life? Then indeed, that's the order of his Guru Maharaj. So he had to do it. So then Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, and it is mentioned that when the sannyas ceremony was going on, he saw Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, one of his god brothers. He was known to be a chanter. He did only one service, that was chanting. Every day he would do only one service, chanting. He would not do anything else, just chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, when the sannyas ceremony was going on, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji was chanting. So, three devotees were taking sannyas, and some other devotees were kind of telling while the sacrifice was going on, showing Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji to stop chanting or, you know, be quiet, something like that. But Srila Prabhupada looked at him and sanctioned. He, with nodding, he indicated that you have to keep chanting. So that time, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, he notes, he later mentions that point he understood, this is the person who is going to West and he's going to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, because he has such a strong faith in the holy name. Because later also, one of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, he went to UK, to London, right? Bon Maharaj. He went with money, he went with followers, he went with everything, with the blessings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he couldn't start Krishna consciousness movement in London, in England. He failed. So later, he could make maybe one or two or elderly devotees, but there was no profound impact. Later, Akinchan Krishnadas Maharaj, Babaji asked Bon Maharaj, you also went to West, and also Swami Maharaj also went to West. When he went, both went with the same philosophy, both went with same chanting, same Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but Swami Maharaj was very successful, but at the same time, you couldn't see much success. Why is it so? So Bon Maharaj replied, his reply was very good. He said, it is because he had more faith, that is, Srila Prabhupada has more faith in the holy name. This is the point. He has so much of faith in the holy name. So that is the basis of Krishna consciousness movement. If you see how the Krishna consciousness movement was started, just by chanting. How all these people were attracted? Just Srila Prabhupada had a pair of kartal and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra in the park, right? If you see the process in itself, it's so simple. But Prabhupada had such a faith in the holy name, so all the conditioned souls got attracted. It is said, when a great acharya comes, then all the devotees who are hiding in the bushes, they will just come forward. They will come to the light. That's what exactly happened when Srila Prabhupada came. When he came to the West, those who were ready, they all just came. They all get attracted and they became devotees. So this is Srila Prabhupada. Such an empowered preacher. I'll explain one other pastime, the power of Srila Prabhupada and his blessings, and which is very important in this day, in this auspicious Vyas Puja day. And if you see the sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada, what can match the sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada? Because we hear in this pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sacrifice of Devahuti. She practically emaciated herself in her service to Kardama Muni. In the same way, we can see the life of Srila Prabhupada as a sacrifice. His initial failure in India. We talk about book distribution, right? We say, okay, I have distributed so many books, or we have printed so many books. If you see, Srila Prabhupada is the original author, he is the publisher, he is the distributor. See? Who Srila Prabhupada, he himself used to write Bhakti Godhead magazines. He himself used to collect somehow or other some money to print. And he himself used to go to the printer in Delhi. From Vrindavan, he used to go to Delhi. He used to go to the printer and he used to get it printed. And he used to negotiate because he didn't have money to print the books. He somehow or other, he used to print the books. And he himself used to distribute books. Right? And in his, we had to understand in his old age, we ourselves considered it so difficult to distribute books. We have everything. We have enough to eat. We have enough place to sleep. We have nice comforts. Everything. And books are also there. Books are piled up actually. And the only job is, we had to take the book and we had to distribute. You see, think about it. It is so easy in one sense. But we make such a big deal out of it. At least I do. That's why I can speak from my own experience. I make such a big deal out of it. But Srila Prabhupada, he did everything. And we know the past time in Delhi, what happened? It was a, you know, scorching hot. Prabhupada was walking and one bull hit Srila Prabhupada. He fell unconscious. And Prabhupada actually tells what he was thinking. When he fainted, when he got some external consciousness, he was thinking, is this a punishment for me? Because I have given up my family and now, you know, I have completely dedicated for this mission. Is it because I have given up my family? Is it a punishment because of that? Srila Prabhupada said, initially I thought like that. Then the thought came, all the Goswamis, everyone left their family. They left everything for the mission of Krishna, for the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So definitely that's not the reason. So he reconciled his concern in this way. So we can see Prabhupada did such a sacrifice. And his initial mission in India was a complete failure. Right? You know, he didn't have anything. You know, the place he apparently acquired, it went for some other mission. The League of Devotees which he established, it didn't come to any success. And Srila Prabhupada approached so many Indian gentlemen. They were Vaishnavas, they were devotees. And what was the request of Srila Prabhupada? Please give me one of your sons. Just give me one of your sons. I will train them as pure Vaishnava. I'll train them as a pure Vaishnava. And we'll use them to propagate the mission of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Krishna. But what was the response? As we know, the Indian families, what would they respond? They said a strict no. They are ready to give maybe a donation, but not to give a son. It's impossible. So then later we can see how the whole thing actually turned around. Now if you see India, if you see so many devotees, right? So many devotees. So we'll see that. So this is amazing sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada. And what to speak about the heart attacks that happened in Jalatuta on his journey to America. 2 times heart attack. Even Morarji Desai, Sumati Morarji, she told before giving the ticket to Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, don't go to the West because it is, you know, you will die. It went to that extent. And Prabhupada actually had to face such a challenge even on the way to America. And the captain of the ship told very clearly, next port, please get off. Take rest because this journey, I don't think you will be able to continue. But Srila Prabhupada did continue. And as we know, Krishna, along with all his expansions, appeared in front of Srila Prabhupada and said, we are taking charge of the situation. So you just go. So Prabhupada proceeded his journey to America. And we can see even after starting the mission, Prabhupada again had problem, right? Serious problem. Third time. You remember, you can read in Leelamrita, third time heart problem. And Prabhupada requested all his disciples, please pray to Narasimhadev. That's where the Narasimha worship was established for protection. You pray that our master hasn't completed his mission. See the depth of the prayer actually. Our master hasn't completed his mission. Because Prabhupada understood at that point if we leave this world, then his neophyte disciples and followers cannot go anywhere. So Prabhupada really wanted to continue the mission. He really wanted to establish this mission for the welfare of the humanity. So he was fighting with his wife, with his life, to establish the mission. So we can see this is real sacrifice. In fact, if we try to understand Prabhupada's routine or life, it is very difficult. See, understand, Prabhupada is an author. He authored so many books, more than 60 volumes, right? He authored so many books. So he's an author. And at the same time, he was managing an international society. You know, think about this, you know, authoring so many books. So forget about 60 books in a short span of maybe 12 years, you know, authoring 60 books. And at the same time, managing an international society. Same time, he's training his disciples in all practical services, including cooking. At the same time, preaching to new people. And at the same time, traveling the world. Around 12 times around the world. Think about that. At the old age, you know, after 70, doing all these things simultaneously. Think, just try to think about this. Is it really possible? Is it humanly possible, we may think? So this is real sacrifice. Everything. We cannot do even one thing in the whole lifetime. The one thing we cannot do it properly in the whole lifetime. This is a short span of 12 years. He did everything. This is when the time comes, he will do everything. We can really clearly see that he did everything. You know, hardly sleeping for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Whole night translating books. And such a purport. See this purport. Srila Prabhupada personally spoke or wrote this purport. Because writing in itself will take time. So he used to dictate, as we know. So he spoke this purport. See this purport in itself. I cannot do the full justice to this purport. So this will continue tomorrow. But see the depth of this purport. So clear. He was doing such an amazing activities in service of Krishna. And what is the result? Even in his lifetime, he established 108 temples. He wrote over 60 volumes of books. And so far, you know, it is amazing how many letters and correspondence he has made. And it is recorded. 6,586 letters. Can you imagine? 6,586 letters he has written. And we have to understand these are actually very powerful letters. Instructional letters. Then he has recorded lectures of 2,901. 2,901 lectures he has delivered. Most of them are transcripted and some are still in audio format. Some are not even edited. Still there are lectures to edit. See, Prabhupada has spoken 2,901 lectures. And apart from that, there are many room conversations and morning walks. Conversations. See, how much he has given. So that's why when devotees were writing purport to the from the 14th chapter of 10th canto and the 11th and 12th cantos, Prabhupada has given everything. So to write the purport, they were referring to previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That is sufficient to give the full purport. Because from till the 10th canto, 13th chapter and rest of his writings, Srila Prabhupada had given all the teachings. So there is nothing new that is coming in the 11th or the 12th canto. Everything is given by Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was, so you have to understand, the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Why Srila Prabhupada wrote Krishna book, Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because he understood, I may not be able to finish Srimad Bhagavatam and there has to be an authentic commentary to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wrote Krishna book. So even 10th canto is completely covered by Srila Prabhupada. So the entire philosophy is completely given by Srila Prabhupada. Now, what is ISKCON now? I'll speak a few points about ISKCON. What is ISKCON now? ISKCON has 650 centers now. So, 110 restaurants. So far, 516 million books are being distributed. 516 million books are being distributed. So, the Bhagavad Gita literature and other books, 516 million. And prasadam, 3 billion plates of prasadam have been distributed so far. 3 billion plates. Big number, right? And so far, 100,000 devotees, nearly 100,000 devotees are being initiated formally by ISKCON. 100,000 devotees, formally initiated. So we can see the impact down the line. And this legacy will continue. They said, like a devotee, like if you talk about a pure devotee, or if you talk about the resonance of the highest planetary system in the material world, the Brahma's planet, and Lord Brahma, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they have only one kind of suffering. You know what is that? For example, Lord Brahma, or if you see the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, or Prahlad Maharaj, they have only one suffering. You know, that suffering is that they know the suffering of the conditioned souls. That is their suffering. That is their only suffering. Because they are completely ecstatic in their connection to Krishna, in their loving service to Krishna. But one thing that disturbs is, they know that the conditioned living entities are suffering. Understanding that, that is their suffering. So they want to act for that. So Brahma, we can see, he instructed, he established Varnashram system for gradual progression. He gave knowledge and he initiated a sampradaya. But when Lord Brahma was instructing, he was instructing to very elite people. Like he was preaching to Priyavrata, we can see in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was preaching to Narada Muni. And to come to a lower standard, to reach to the masses, Brahma had to take another life. Who is that? Thakur Haridas. To give this holy name to masses, Brahma had to take another birth as Haridas Thakur. But Srila Prabhupada, he reached to masses in the same life, in a very short span of 12 years. He reached to masses. He made the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu complete. Because there is an amazing conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur in Haridama Chintamani, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Haridas Thakur, how can we deliver the conditioned souls of this world? So he is making Haridas Thakur to speak. So the conclusion is, it's only by spreading the holy name. So the mission is very clear, that only by chanting the conditioned souls can be delivered in this age of Kali. And Prabhupada actually did that. So amazing. So in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Haridas Thakur, because you are perfect in achar and prachar. You are perfect in terms of your own practice and also giving this knowledge to others. So Srila Prabhupada is in the same way. He is a perfect practitioner and at the same time he is a perfect preacher. He is a Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi means one who enjoys in giving this knowledge to others. One who enjoys in preaching. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he is the greatest bhajanandi. He can relish bhajan. But he is not restricting himself as a bhajanandi. He is taking the role of a Goshtyanandi for the benefit of all the living entities. I'll mention a few points about ISKCON, because it is ISKCON's 50th anniversary. Very, very interesting and important point about ISKCON. The one point is that Srila Prabhupada writes about ISKCON that
in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, there is mention about Krishna's appearance. How Krishna took shelter of the womb of Mother Devaki. Right? So Krishna resided in the womb of Mother Devaki, and then he appeared. In the same way, Srila Prabhupada says that in the age of Kali, the institutional womb of Krishna's appearance is gone. Because why Krishna appears? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavadi bharata abhyudhanam avadharmasya tadatmanam sarjamyaham. So whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice or descendant of Bharata and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Prabhupada says, in this age of Kali, definitely this is the time where there is religion. Definitely there is a prominence of religion. And in this point, how Krishna can appear? That appearance of Krishna is through the womb of ISKCON. So Prabhupada compares, this Krishna consciousness movement is the womb through which Krishna is appearing. So it is a very important statement we can read in the second chapter of 10th canto. Similarly, there is a discussion by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur trying to analyze where the bhakti is originating from. Because we can see devotees, where is the bhakti coming from? So he goes through different factors. So in the Shastra it is said, Yadrachaya means by good fortune or by independently. The bhakti appears, or the devotion appears in the heart independently or by good fortune. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does an analysis of this word Yadrachaya and how bhakti can appear. So he goes through different points. One argument is, can bhakti come just by good fortune, by chance? Then he says, no, it's not possible. You know, his bhakti is just a random process, just like that it appears. Then he asks the question, is that the Lord is giving bhakti? Is the Lord is the source of bhakti? He is giving the bhakti to different people. If it is so, why some people have bhakti and some people do not have bhakti? It looks quite impartial. Then finally he comes to the conclusion that ultimately bhakti is originating from the heart of a pure devotee. So if you see bhakti, we have to understand that it is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. So a pure devotee's heart has pure devotion, and because that devotee requests Krishna, please appear in others' heart also, please kindly give mercy to others also, then bhakti out of causeless mercy appears in the heart of different people and they become devotees. So in that way we can see that in Krishna consciousness movement, we can see that where is ISKCON coming from? This bhakti movement is coming from the heart of a pure devotee, that is Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada had pure devotion, Prabhupada asked Krishna. So when Prabhupada requests, then what happens? That bhakti appears in our heart. So that is the point of adhering to the Krishna consciousness process, adhering to ISKCON. We may not be great devotees. We may do our basic sadhana. We may do whatever service, basic service we can do. But since we are sticking to a pure devotee's instruction, then what happens? Krishna becomes pleased. Because we want to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna becomes pleased. So this is a very critical point. We don't want to become big devotees. Right? We don't want to become big devotees. We want to become good devotees. That is enough. That's all we want. We don't want to meditate, you know, now I'll become so many great things. In that way I'll become great. No. We have to become good devotees. Sincerely try to follow. If something big has to happen, it'll happen. That is Krishna's mercy. Next, I'll read a very interesting conversation of Srila Prabhupada and Rajaji, a famous politician in India. Rajaji, very great person who took part in freedom fighting. So I'll read, this is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada also met with Rajgopal Acharya, who had been India's first chief executive after independence. A friend of Mahatma Gandhi, Rajaji was high in public sentiment as a religious politician. Although in his 90s, he was alert and very sympathetic to Prabhupada's movement. Rajaji expressed only one doubt. Prabhupada had created such a huge institution that now his disciples might identify with the institution rather than with Krishna. Very important concern, right? Prabhupada had established a big institution, so we may identify with ISKCON and may not with Krishna. If that were to happen, then by identifying with the institution, they would gain fall into the same type of materialism or false identification as before. Because the problem in the material world is identification. So, devotees also can further their identification just by identifying with the institution rather than Krishna. So, Prabhupada replied that because Krishna is absolute, Krishna and Krishna's institution are known different. To identify with Krishna's institution was to identify with Krishna directly. Rajaji was satisfied by Prabhupada's answer, and after a pleasant conversation, the two friends parted. See? So it's very, very interesting how Rajaji had this question, and it's a very relevant question. So identifying with Krishna is called as identifying with Krishna. It's a very, very profound statement. So I will conclude narrating a couple of pastimes which are very, very interesting, showing the power of blessings of Srila Prabhupada. Because today our meditation has to be, what are the desires of Srila Prabhupada? What is the mission of ISKCON? What is the mission of Srila Prabhupada? And how can we be an instrument in taking part in that mission to please Srila Prabhupada? Now, this happened during the time of Kumbh Mela. You know, Kumbh Mela is probably the largest religious gathering in the world. You know, I don't know how many people, millions of people assemble on the bank of the Ganges and all the three rivers, actually, confluence of all three rivers. So it is such a gathering where all the great saintly people assemble. All great saintly. It is said many of the yogis who are residing in Himalayas, they would come only for Kumbh Mela, right? Once in 12 years. So only once in 12 years they come to the public. Otherwise they hide in the caves or in the bushes, wherever. So it is an important gathering. So it is, you know, millions of people, millions of pilgrims, you know, so many different sages, all of them assembled. So Srila Prabhupada went with his devotees to Kumbh Mela. And at that point, a Vaishnava came there. So this Vaishnava had a child with him, maybe, you know, 5-6 years old, a small child, his son. So both of them came, and this Vaishnava was not from our Sampradaya, but he was from Ramanandi Sampradaya. Ramanandi Sampradaya is a bona fide offshoot of Ramanuja Sampradaya. So Ramanandis are bona fide, they are Vaishnavas, but not from our Sampradaya. So this boy, along with his father, went and approached Srila Prabhupada for blessing. So the father told Srila Prabhupada that, kindly bless my son. Okay. So Prabhupada looked at this this boy, and he touched his head, and, you know, he was nicely patting his head, and he was kind of blessing. And then he told the father that, please give me your son. I'll train him and I'll make him an acharya. Said, I will make him an acharya, means a great profound teacher. So father told, you know, Prabhupada, what's the point? You know, he's just still learning the basics of Sanskrit. It's Vyakaran. It's the basic Sanskrit. He's just learning Vyakaran, basic Sanskrit. So what's the point? How can you use him? Now, give some time. So Prabhupada again told, no, if you want, give your son, I'll train him, I'll make him an acharya. So father again, he told, you know, what's the point? You know, now he couldn't really relate to it. Just young son, you know, giving to Srila Prabhupada, you know, still learning Sanskrit. So he has to be at least educated before serving the mission. That was his father's concern. So Prabhupada again told, you know, no, I'll make him an acharya.
give me your son. So, you know, he was like, he said again that, you know, no, you know, let him study first. So Prabhupada said, then it's okay. He just left it. Prabhupada said, okay. But Prabhupada blessed and he said, it's okay, no problem. Then later, this is a remembrance by Atma Tattva Prabhu. So later, Atma Tattva Prabhu says, Atma Tattva Prabhu was there with Srila Prabhupada. And he looked after this boy. You know, the boy was, you know, he was holding the boy and, you know, taking him here and there. And after many years, Prabhupada disappeared from this planet. And Atma Tattva Prabhu and other ISKCON devotees, they went for another Kumbh Mela. After many years, of course. Then that time, they understood there is another Acharya who is speaking. So ISKCON was there. ISKCON had a strong presence with chanting, with prasadam distribution, with book distribution. But there was another Acharya from another Sampradaya, Vaishnava Acharya. So they found out, who is this Acharya? This Acharya was this young boy. He actually became an Acharya. He united all, there was a lot of arguments and different sections and different teams of that Vaishnavas. He combined everyone and he worked on that for 9 years. And he made a unified Vaishnava institution and he became the Acharya. And he was delivering the lecture. And when Atma Tattva Prabhu went and he told, you know, he understood, immediately the Acharya understood, these are devotees. And he remembered Srila Prabhupada. On the spot, he composed verses glorifying Srila Prabhupada. On the spot in Sanskrit, in Vyasasan. Immediately he started glorifying Srila Prabhupada. We might have heard this verse. Na bhuto, the verse starting from na bhuto na bhavishyati. Have you heard this verse? Many ISKCON devotees, many people, you know, recite this verse. I don't know the complete verse. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. Meaning, never it happened in the past, neither in the future. Such a person as Srila Prabhupada. This is unique. Na bhuto na bhavishyati. It will never happen. So that is Srila Prabhupada. And the final conclusion of the verse is, by glorifying Srila Prabhupada in this way, none of the four Vaishnava Acharyas, they will never get offended. By making this statement, all the four Acharyas, all the Vaishnava Acharyas, who are the founders of all the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, they will never get offended by this glorification. Rather, they will approve this glorification. See, so this is power of Srila Prabhupada. They said the power of blessings of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada could see who is this. And it's amazing how, you know, eventually many devotees can see how whatever Prabhu has said, it has come true. Blessings of such a pure devotee is so powerful. Even I was reading a very interesting article in Dandavats many years back, reflection by Srila Prabhupada's disciple. He said he was a personal cook to Srila Prabhupada. So one day he got a particular different grain to make halwa. So he made halwa and he offered to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada looked and he asked, this devotee, he meditated upon this particular grain for some time, you know, I should use this particular grain to make halwa, not our samolina, something else. So he meditated quite a bit, he went to the shop, he purchased, he made the halwa and he offered to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at it and asked, what is this made of? So immediately the devotee said, such and such ingredient. Prabhupada said, it's not worthy eating. It's not meant for humans. He just rejected straight away. So the devotee became completely devastated. He thought, you know, I put so much of effort. I wanted to offer this to Srila Prabhupada. And he took the plate and he you know, came out and he was feeling very bad. And he started literally crying. And then he went and approached the photo of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he started praying that I just wanted to please my spiritual master. So kindly be merciful to me. I just wanted to please my spiritual master. I had no intention to offend my spiritual master. He was praying like that. And he prayed and he came out. Immediately Srila Prabhupada said, bring that in. So this devotee, he took the same plan and approached Srila Prabhupada. He ate the whole plate and he asked, is there anything more left? So if there was something left in the pot, so this devotee served that also. He ate that also. He said it was very good. Then this devotee's point was, I prayed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur for the mercy of my spiritual master. And he was so merciful. So just by praying, the whole thing happened. I got the mercy of my spiritual master. And he was thinking, he was telling, think about the grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, which many of us are, or great grand disciples. Think about your good fortune. He was telling, now Srila Prabhupada is in the position of our grandfather, spiritual grandfather. And the spiritual grandfather is always very merciful, very compassionate, even more compassionate to his grandchildren. So he was telling, we are all in even more better position than disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he was mentioning. Because as a grandfather, he will be even more compassionate to the grandchildren, he was mentioning. So if you pray to Srila Prabhupada, the mercy that we are going to derive is immense. And today is the day for that. We can meditate on Srila Prabhupada. We can glorify Srila Prabhupada. We can beg for his mercy. Today is the day we can really think in Srila Prabhupada's mission, what we want to do. What are the desires of our spiritual masters from us. We can meditate on the desires of our spiritual masters for us, and we can see how we can fulfill those desires by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We can pray for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada so that we can fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada coming through the instructions of his followers. We can really meditate on that. So today is the day for that. Today is the day for prayers, for glorification, to be absorbed in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. Because na bhuto na bhavishyati, we have to really remember this point. We are in a very unique position. It's a very unique position. Never such a great fortune has happened, and never will be in the future. So now we have to take this opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada, and we have to express our gratitude. Now, expressing our gratitude is serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada as our life and soul. So I stop here, and in this auspicious day, we pray for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada so that we can continue in this mission and be an instrument in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So stop here. Is there any question? Or anyone wants to add anything? A good question, because Krishna has left his teachings and Srila Prabhupada has left his teaching. So can we understand fully Srila Prabhupada or Krishna, since they have left behind their teachings? So the answer is yes, we can understand to the degree that is being revealed to us. It takes surrender, means it takes following the instruction and pleasing the spiritual master and Krishna. And according to that, whatever is revealed about them, that we can understand. It's a personal process. It's not that we are going to acquire knowledge. It's not a process of material research and knowledge acquisition. Now, we are going to conquer knowledge. We are going to conquer about the activities and teachings of... No. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur very poetically made the statement. We are not trying to imprison the words of the scriptures in our heart. Generally, when we are trying to study or our mentalities, I want to imprison the words in my heart so I can remember whatever is written. But that's not the purpose. So it is according to, it is part is revelation. The depth, we cannot understand the depth of Srimad Bhagavatam completely, nor that of activities of Srila Prabhupada. How can we understand somebody who is completely pure when our consciousness is contaminated? So the more we get advanced, more we can understand. At the same time, everything is based on revelation. It's not just revelation. It's the endeavor and mercy. It's not that mercy without endeavor. So Srila Prabhupada's teaching is very clear. There is endeavor and there is mercy. So we have to take our part. We have to read the books. As Prabhupada said, his books are his devotional ecstasies. And if you want to know me, read my books. So yes, we can know Srila Prabhupada according to the degree of our surrender. Is that clear? Thank you. Any final point or question? Okay. If not, thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Vyas Puja Mahotsav ki, Tathagata Gaura Premande.